extend Christian greetings again this morning to you, and can say that I have been blessed to have been a part of the worship time up until this point. Once again, I stand here with a desire to be obedient to God and to what He has laid on my heart. And I'm not sure if this is a orthodox message for or a message that should be preached on a Sunday morning or not. And my home congregation knows very much that there's times where I approach a time of sharing with trembling, because it's the Word of God, and I sometimes resist in the flesh sharing what I believe God would have me to share. And this message is a little bit like that. And I stand here in an area where I don't know you that well, and I don't know exactly what's been going on in your lives, and so I somewhat share freely, but yet I share with a sense and a burden that is real, and that is the fact that time is running out, and judgment is coming. And after judgment, after the final judgment, there is an assortment of views of how that's all going to transpire, and I don't intend to get into that this morning. However, I would just simply say this, that at some point after death or after judgment, we will face in that time of judgment our Creator. We will face God. And if you have crossed the border as many times as we do, or even only once, at some point, if your inspector is doing their job, they will inquire a little bit about your information. They already know it. They already know who you are when you pull up. However, they typically ask if you have anything to declare, or they typically will ask the purpose of your visit. And I get this picture as we're standing before Almighty God, that we will again have this here, as it were. God knows us. God knows us today. God knows everything about us today. But yet we will stand before Him and have this here interaction. And the picture I have in my mind as I consider this topic this morning of forgiveness is that only the forgiven will enter heaven. As those who have come to that point of knowing and having an awareness of sin. We believe that children are innocent and so on. But as I stand here this morning, and that was not in my notes, that was a bunny trail, I just sense that approaching time of judgment and the awareness will dawn on us, or will be there, that we need to have experienced forgiveness. The topic this morning that I will attempt to address is what I have entitled Biblical Forgiveness in Personal Offenses. I don't like long titles, and that one's very long, and I could make it longer. I could say Applying or Practicing Biblical Forgiveness in Personal Offenses. And I add the word biblical simply because I believe that defining forgiveness today can vary by a person's culture, a person's background, and so on. And if I'm sharing something that doesn't sit well with you, I invite you to talk to me and correct me, because I want to be scripturally correct, biblically correct, as we view forgiveness. For a springboard, I invite you to some familiar verses in Ephesians and in Colossians. We will begin in Ephesians 4. And here we have a chapter where he's exhorting us to unity and to right living and to setting aside corrupt communication. And he wraps up this exposition with a couple verses in the latter part of his address. And it says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, So those are the things we are to put away, including all malice. And then in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I find it interesting, in the things that we are to be, he includes the kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness, but then he expands on this thought of forgiveness and makes it clear that we are to be forgiving one another as Christ, or as God hath for Christ's sake forgiven us. So giving an emphasis to how we should forgive. Paging back to Colossians, we have this example of Christ's forgiveness further shared on in a parallel passage. And in Colossians 3, verse 13, maybe we'll begin back at 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So there again we have that correlation made that we are to forgive our fellow men, forgive offenses as Christ forgave us. And I'd like to explore a little bit further, how did Christ teach forgiveness? Or how did Christ, even in his own example of his life here on earth, show forgiveness? And I might just add before we leave this that maybe our tendency, or maybe I'm speaking about my tendency, is to be forbearing one with another and choosing that over forgiveness. There is a place for forbearance, and that's a topic of its own, but it is, again, laid out clearly that we are to be those who forgive one another, and if we have a quarrel against any, we are to forgive as Christ forgave us. What did Jesus say? Well, he said a lot about forgiveness. One passage that we should look at is in Luke 17. I'm going to be paging to some various scriptures this morning. I encourage you to join me in that. In Luke 17, we have Jesus here addressing a number of topics with his disciples. And I think I'll read from verse 1 to 4. Then said Jesus, he, unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespassed against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespassed against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now there's several considerations that we need to take note of as we unpack this here teaching on forgiveness. The first one is, where is the focus directed? As we read verse 3 and 4, but especially in verse 3, it's extremely clear that Jesus is directing the focus as we consider forgiveness to ourselves. We need to take heed to ourselves. And in forgiving, as Christ forgave, we need to consider our own attitude and our own condition, independent of what the offense was or independent of the offender. We need to recognize, as he said in verse 1, that offenses will come. You will not go far through the journey of life if you are around people and somewhat aware of what's going on. You will experience offenses. You will experience things that just cause you angst. And they will vary from minute things to things that are traumatic and life-changing. So offenses will come, but we are to take heed to ourselves. And there's much could be said about that. But I just simply would say, in a practical sense, how are you doing? What is your response to the offense? And we approach forgiveness, and I see Jesus teaching that if you are trespassed or offended and someone offends you, look out for yourself. Guard yourself. Guard your response. Guard your emotions and guard what happens next. And then it goes on. The second aspect of this that we look at is, if he repents, forgive him. as we consider the topic of forgiveness. And on a first read, it would appear that it's teaching here that we need to actually forgive someone, only conditional on their confession. That's what it's appearing like. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. I believe, in fact, what Jesus is teaching here is that we first of all take heed to yourself and forgive when you are asked to forgive, because offenses will come. And when that person comes back to us and they ask for forgiveness, what's our response? What's our reaction to that? And in that place, we are called to and we are commanded to forgive. In fact, he goes on to say, if it happens 5 times, or if it happens 6 times, or it happens 7 times, we are still to forgive. We are to have the same response. And now if you think that yourself, put your own name in there, isn't going to struggle after 3 or 4 or 5 times, we're talking about in the same 24-hour period, to forgive, put yourself there. And no wonder the disciples said, increase our faith. I can't hardly fathom that. But I believe that that is exactly what Jesus is saying, is, Rick, look out for yourself and watch your response when that person comes back to you that has offended you before. And you know, in a practical sense, I'm an impatient driver. I just like to. I'm totally different when I'm with people, so just it's okay. You can drive with me, but when I'm alone and I'm driving from one of our offices to another, I have places to go, things to do. People that sit in the fast lane on the 401, which is one of the fastest roads in, I think it is the fastest road in Canada, and they sit over in what I call the fast lane and just sit there. And that traffic moves in kilometers at typically around 120 to 125 an average, which is about 74, 76 in there somewhere. And they sit over there, and I get impatient with that. And if I'm not careful, it can annoy me. Now, I don't know if that's an offense or not. And I don't know if that requires forgiveness, but it does check my attitude. And in that situation where they are constantly moving over and then coming back and so on, it can be that that's the only thing that I can really think of that is an offending again and again. And then the other one I think of is people that I maybe struggle to love and struggle to care for. And their responses to situations as you run into them throughout the day can be extremely difficult. And I can think of customers and situations. However, back to this thing that we only need to forgive if the person repents or asks for forgiveness, in keeping with interpretation of the Scripture and looking at all of Jesus' teaching, let's go and see what he says, I believe, in Mark 11. Jesus adds another dimension here to the above teachings of Luke 17. And in Mark 11, Jesus is talking particularly to his disciples here in teaching them. And I'll break in at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things shall come to pass, which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So if you don't understand what that's saying, read 26. And if ye do not forgive those who trespass against you and cause you offense, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we have an added dimension to the teachings of Luke 17. And Jesus is saying here that when you're praying, or when you're meditating, or when put whatever application in there, when you're living life and the Spirit brings some offense or offender to your mind, you need to forgive them. Otherwise, you won't be forgiven by God. It doesn't say It doesn't say that when you're praying and the Spirit brings an offense or an offender to your mind, that you need to pray for that person and say, God, just convict them somehow of what they did wrong toward me, and just help them come to me and seek forgiveness so that I can forgive them. It doesn't say that. Because in my own words, we are to look out for ourselves and we are to forgive them or we will not be forgiven. That's serious. Taking a bunny trail again, what does forgive mean? What does the biblical definition of forgive mean? It comes from a Greek word, aphiemi, and there's a bunch of different applications of aphiemi in the New Testament, and for sure it means to forgive, as I believe we use the word forgive, and as it's translated. But it also has a dimension to it of forsaking or lay aside and leave it or let it go. And some of these uses, just to help us get this mind picture, which I enjoy, as I consider Scripture and comparing the different Scriptures, you get this picture of aphiemi, and it's used in the context of when Jesus, early in his ministry, and he was going along the seashore, and he was calling disciples to follow him. And it says in some of those passages, in my own words, that the disciples would leave, or they left their nets and they left their ships. And that word left is aphiemi. It's creating a separation. Jesus called the disciples to follow him and they left. They aphiemied their nets and their ships. In Matthew 5, Jesus is speaking there again. I won't turn to it in my own words again, and you Bible readers know where I'm going. If you're coming to offer your alms, and you're coming to the altar, and there you remember that your brother hath aught against you, and there's something that's not dealt with, it says there to leave your alms and to go and first be reconciled. And that word leave is the same word, aphiemi. So separate, lay aside, and go and be reconciled. This idea, when you couple it together with forgiveness, it creates this mind picture that there is no restraints. There's a release. And so when we forgive as Christ is teaching us to forgive, there becomes this point of letting go and of releasing and of separation. And if you think about that and what he taught back there in Luke 17, where you will do that, as he said, seven times in a day, then if you actually release it on the second time and the third time and the fourth time, first of all, you won't be counting. It doesn't make sense. And the other thing that you're going to recognize is, and this is something that's just been discussed in our community lately, and that is about retracting forgiveness. And I haven't spent a lot of time on this, but if someone offends against you again, that you retract your earlier forgiveness and now you place them back in this here mode of debt. I don't see that in Christ's teachings. I don't see when we let go, when we release and we just simply lay aside, I don't see any room for going back and picking that offense up again the fourth time or the fifth time or the sixth time. Because when we release it, we forsake it. And it's impossible, in my mind again, to unforgive someone. Where we need to be at is we need to forgive them again. We need to forgive them again. We need to release them again. I'm going to take time to look at one more verse in Matthew 19. An interesting passage in Matthew 19, 27 to 30. Peter is talking to Jesus, and he says what I hear is some words, not of anxiety, but a heartfelt statement. And he says in verse 27, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We have forsaken all. And that phrase, have forsaken, is a phiemi. We have released all. We've left our ships. We've left our vocations. We've left everything. And that's after he's taught about the rich man and what it takes to enter heaven, the kingdom of heaven. What shall we have therefore? Jesus goes on and he speaks to them and he teaches them. And in verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken, that hath aphiamied houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Again, there's the beautiful picture in a different application of what it means. That hath forsaken, and that is the same as forgiveness. We need to forsake the offense. We need to demonstrate and to act out and we'll get into that a little bit more. Choose release and choose forgiveness and choose to forsake the offense in the act of forgiving as Christ forgave. There's one other one that comes to my mind, and that is the example of Jesus at the end of his life. And you know it well, where he was betrayed, and then he was faced that night, that false trial. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was tormented, he was taken before the high priest and before Pilate and before Herod. He was tasked with carrying his own instrument of death, the cross, to Golgotha. And there, as he hung between two thieves who were guilty, our Lord, our Savior, the one who taught us and is teaching us to forgive and to release, as he hung there on the cross in agony and pain, said to God, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they were sitting there, dividing his clothes, dividing his raiment. Now you might say, that's actually not Jesus demonstrating forgiveness. He's asking God to forgive. Jesus is God. Jesus was God. And here I believe what Jesus is demonstrating for us and teaching when we consider biblical forgiveness is he's teaching and demonstrating unconditional forgiveness. He's confirming, or he's further, I guess, confirming that in Luke 17, he wasn't teaching that you need to wait until you are asked for forgiveness to forgive someone. He further teaches here as he's hanging on the cross that you don't need to retract forgiveness if the wrong is done to you again. If you are mistreated again, because he was in the state of being offended. He was in the state of being wronged as he hung there on the cross. And yet he forgave those people. And he forgave those who were doing this to him. And as I think about the wrong that they did and the offense they did, he chose forgiveness and he demonstrated in the midst of that wrong. While it was happening, he demonstrated and acted out unconditional forgiveness. Think about the love and the example of Christ. While they mocked him and while they crucified him, he forgave. Even as Christ forgave us, so also are we too. There's more passages we could look at. I won't take the time. I want this to be only one sermon. There's a number of... I've chosen instead to switch gears a little bit. And there's a number of views afloat about forgiveness. And our people are affected by them somewhat and exposed to them. And some of them are things that I've heard. Some of them are things I've read. And some of them are things I've observed. And I'm simply going to touch on four of them. There's more that would apply. The first one is that the teaching that you cannot forgive until you've worked through it. This is common modern psychological advice, and it's understandable that there is a taking heed to ourselves that needs to take place, where we can struggle with a negative view toward the offender, and there can be hard feelings of hurt, very real feelings of betrayal. I think of a family that I know through my work, and they're involved in pastoring in a Baptist church, and they experienced extreme hurt and betrayal by someone within their congregation. And the father of this family works for us, and in talking to him a couple of weeks ago about how his children are doing, that topic and that conversation led then to what's next. And this person that was in the wrong and that wronged them is now in the justice system, is going to court, and so on. And so time will tell what happens next with that. But coming back to this family and those affected by it, what they are living through right now is the tension that can be created as we experience extreme hurt and extreme betrayal, and how we deal with that, and how we deal with the emotions and the feelings around that, and what we know we need to do, and that is to forgive and to release that person. And also, they feel a responsibility as followers of Christ to reach out and to love and to care for that individual, and to help point them to Jesus, and to help point them to a saving knowledge that ultimately is what's needed to transform their lives. I would just simply say that I feel that if we teach that we cannot forgive until we have worked through it, we are violating and contradicting what Jesus taught. And maybe another question that we could ask is, how do you work through your feelings if you are offended by someone, or someone committed the same sin towards you 7 times in the same day? How do you work through? Jesus said, forgive them. So how do you work through your feelings that fast if you're going to base your forgiveness on working through everything? See, I believe that the aphiemi, the true sense of forgiveness, needs to be something that we choose immediately, and that we don't wait to extend that, as Jesus demonstrated on the cross. In fact, I would go on to say, and I quote, that true forgiveness becomes then the foundation upon which the emotional and relational healing can take place. Forgiving then at the beginning of the healing process is, I believe, necessary so that healing can take place. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a promise. It's a release. And may God help us and give us the grace to forgive as we have been forgiven. And to, in light of I will just say this and then I'll move on. In light of immediate forgiveness while still feeling pain and hurt, I will then go to the next point. And that is that forgiving while we're still angry, or while we're still upset, or while we're still hurt, is hypocritical. That is a thought by some, and again, I disagree. I believe that to grant forgiveness while still feeling hurt and while still struggling with the matter is not hypocritical. It's obedience. I believe that we have been called, as I see in Scripture, to forgive, and to refuse forgiveness is hypocritical. Because in that, what we are actually saying is we are a follower of Christ, we're professing to be a Christian, but we're not obeying His commands to forgive. Is that too simple? It's hard. It's extremely hard. I didn't say any of this is easy, but it's what Jesus commanded, and nothing else will matter when we face Him in judgment. The third point is, if I forgive, I must forget. Again, what I see in Scripture is that we are to forsake, we are to leave, we are to release, we are to forgive. But I don't see in Scripture where it says if we forgive, we should forget. And actually, I feel it's probably unscriptural to say to someone, well, if you haven't forgotten it, you mustn't have forgiven yet. And I know that some will quote Hebrews 8, verse 12. And we have, it says, for I, Jesus, God, will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We have a beautiful passage there of the mercy and the grace of God being extended to humanity. And we see that through Scripture. There's areas in, I believe it was in Isaiah or Jeremiah, where it talks about a thick cloud that blots out our unrighteousness. And this is the part I struggle with in applying this to us as humans, is there is application here that I believe is important for us to make. But in the context here of forgetting, forgiving and forgetting, there's a difference, and I want to be understood here. There's a difference between God and us. See, God is okay. Here's where I struggle. Is the wording here says that God will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. My view of God is that God can't forget. God knows all things. And what I feel God is saying here is He didn't forget. He has chosen to not remember them. He has chosen in His mercy and His great grace that He extends to us not to hold our sins against us anymore. And that's what we call justification. And so in a human nature, as we consider some of the extremely painful and traumatic and impacting offenses that people face and have experienced, to ask that person to forget or to place them on that person or on that family or on that situation a condition that if you haven't forgotten it, you haven't forgiven them, is not what I believe God is teaching. God chooses not to remember our transgressions. The way we are created, the way our bodies are created, to choose to forget something traumatic is almost impossible. And I would go on to say that I believe that God, in a supernatural way, gives us the ability to, as we forgive and begin that journey of healing, that when those thoughts and those emotions come to us and those past memories come and try to steal our joy or infringe on our current awareness, that we will in those times continually choose forgiveness and continue on that journey of healing. It has been said that time heals, and I believe there's an element of truth in that. However, I don't believe that time forgives. I believe that forgiveness is a choice, and it's a promise that we make to release and to forgive the debt of wrong against us. And then the healing can begin. And in that, there will become, and I praise God for this, an ability to think of it and to not have our emotions rise up. And we are given the grace and the strength and the ability to remember it. We could talk here as well about whether we should talk about it and other things as well, but I won't go into some of those. I have thoughts on that. The fourth area that I will touch on, the final area for this morning, is a teaching that or maybe it's a misconception, that granting forgiveness, when we grant forgiveness to someone, what we are doing is we're saying that what the offender did to us was not wrong. And I guess I, again, disagree with that. I believe that when we forgive someone, there is in no way does that forgiveness, as Christ taught forgiveness, in no way does that lessen the seriousness of the wrong. An offense is still an offense. Sin is still sin. And I would go on to say that it does not remove the need at times for civil authorities to be involved and for the law to conduct justice. And so one of the misconceptions that we can have is that if we forgive, there's no need for the law to be involved. And I know there's many different examples and situations, and so we have to use discretion and wisdom in these. But I would just say as a blanket statement that granting forgiveness doesn't say that what was done was right. And when we choose forgiveness and we grant when we release that person, what we are giving and granting to the person who offended against us is something that they don't necessarily deserve. But we have released it and we refuse to take further justice into our own hands. And that is demonstrating then the heart of God and His heart toward us. And if we can accept that Jesus commands and I believe demonstrates and teaches immediate forgiveness, independent of someone coming and asking for it, independent of somebody confessing and requesting forgiveness, then in many ways it removes some of the struggles and the issues that we can face of interpreting whether the person is genuine or not in their repentance. And so I come back to look out for yourselves. Look out for your own heart. Look out for your own condition. And choose to forgive. And remember that the sooner you can do that, the better off you are. And the sooner you do it, it will become then the foundation upon which a healing and a release can take place. As I think of Jesus and His words on the cross, I think of love. And we should probably teach on agape love more. And we definitely should practice it, genuinely practice it more. But I think of love, and as I think of forgiveness, and in trying to join together the difficulty of our own emotions and our own feelings in the decision to choose forgiveness, because I view it as a choice. I view it as not something that we will necessarily feel as an emotion. But where does love come in, and especially when we consider forgiveness? And as Christians, we are called and commanded to love and to operate in love. And when I say that, I'm not talking about it in a loving manner that overlooks sin and overlooks offenses. I'm talking about it in the context of 1 Corinthians 13, and I will read just a few verses here in closing. It says, charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So consider that as you consider offenses that you have experienced. It says it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7 is what brought me here. Christian agape love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. four areas mentioned there: bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I leave that as a challenge. Closing song. Thank you.